بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين والعاقبة للمتقين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين سيدنا ومولانا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين. أما بعد، فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى في القرآن المجيد والفرقان الحميد بعد: أعوذ بالله السميع العليم من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها الرسل كلوا من الطيبات وعملوا صالحا. وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم: الحلال بين والحرام بين، إلى آخر الحديث. صدق الله العظيم وصدق على رسوله النبي الكريم، ونحن على ذلك من الشاهدين والشاكرين، والحمد لله رب العالمين. Honorable ulama, respected huffaz, elders and brothers, assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. We begin with the praises of Allah Rabbul Alameen, that Allah who is mine and your soul sustainer, cherisher, nourisher and protector. Precious salutations continue to descend and flow upon our noble master, leader, mentor, our teacher and our guide, Nabiya Pak Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Respected elders and friends, the intention was to always continue to speak about what is happening in Palestine and in Gaza. However, we'll come from a different angle today, and that angle is so important because it influences and it is one of the factors that determines whether our du'as will be accepted or rejected. Currently, we're all in pain as the bombings have started once again after the ceasefire has terminated. Hence, a factor that plays a very important role in ensuring that our du'as for ourselves and for the ummah is accepted. One of these is the consumption of halal and the abstinence of haram. So I thought I will touch on that topic today, so that inshallah it will give us a better understanding of how important this aspect is in our deen. Respected elders and friends, you and I know that blood is the life stream of the human body. Healthy blood nourishes all the organs, enabling them to function well. Good blood is produced from healthy, wholesome food. On the contrary, unhealthy food produces unhealthy blood, causing the entire body to be weakened, and then one suffers a host of illnesses. Hence, the direct link between what one consumes and physical health is also evident. When you go to a doctor with a illness, Allah forbid, Allah save us, Allah protect us, Allah keep us with afiyah, inshallah. When you go to a doctor, besides the worry of the bill, besides the worry of the bill, that is something that, the first thing that makes you better off 50%. Besides the worry of the bill, the first thing that they will try to analyze is your diet. They will ask you, what are you eating? What is excess in your body? So that is the first thing that they will tell you. Now, there is a link between what one consumes and physical health, as I have explained to you. Now, a similar link exists between one's sustenance and one's spiritual health. Just like there is a link between one's food and one's physical health, there is a link between one's sustenance and one's spiritual health. If one's sustenance is pure, wholesome, and from halal earnings, it has a direct effect in boosting one's spiritual level. When a person eats healthy, then it boosts his physical levels. When a person eats halal, then it boosts his spiritual level. The heart then desires to do good, while the limbs easily moves towards piety and righteousness. However, if the food is not halal or is not wholesome, or it is halal but itself it was acquired from haram earnings, it spiritually contaminates the blood. It spiritually contaminates the blood. As a result, the heart continuously thrives on evil, and the limbs easily moves towards sin and impiety, and they have no strength to perform good deeds. Even salah, which is the most fundamental command after iman, becomes heavy, it becomes a burden, and it is left out. Now, if this spiritual remedy of this spiritual and critical situation is not remedied in time, a spiritual cancer sets in. Allah forbid, Allah forbid. Just like if a person's intake of unhealthy foods is not limited, then it leads to a host of other problems in the body. And the first thing the doctor will tell you is you need to cut out, if you have sugar problems, you need to cut out on excess of sugar. If you have blood pressure, high blood, low blood, they will give you a specific diet that you need to follow, and you need to cut out on certain foods so that your body does not take the burden of unhealthy. In the like manner, my respected elders, friends, if this critical situation of nourishing the body with haram is not remedied, it can lead to severe problems. Allah Ta'ala forbid that such a person then even sometimes sells his iman, his honor and his dignity for monetary gain. We see it happening. That a person, when this cancer starts to set in, that I need to earn and I need to make money no matter what, no matter how it comes, then Allah forbid that a person will even sell his iman and his honor in the process. The direct link between what one consumes and good actions is most evident in the Quran and Majeed when Allah addresses the galaxy of the Anbiya, the galaxy of the messengers, when Allah commands them, Ya ayyuha rusulu kulu min at-tayyibat. What did Allah tell the messengers? The galaxy of prophets, Allah is telling them, O messengers, kulu min at-tayyibat, eat of what is pure and wholesome. Then Allah says, wa'amalu salihah. Then Allah says, do righteous deeds. Allah didn't say, do righteous deeds first and then eat. Allah said, eat first, but when you eat, make sure that you eat pure and wholesome, and then you do righteous deeds. The lesson for the followers of this galaxy of Anbiya is that eating what is pure will lead to righteous action. Unfortunately, my respected elders and friends, there are so many things that I want to mention today. The lesson has tragically been forgotten by many people. And the incidents that we hear that come to us with regard to shady deals and openly haram transactions have escalated to unprecedented levels. Deception, fraud, cheating in weight and measure, cheating the customer by not concealing the fault in the goods, or in any other way, charging interest, dealing in haram goods, buying goods from dubious sources, not paying creditors, despite living a life of luxury. The man is driving a BMW, he pulls out the latest German sedan, but he owes people money. He's flying for Umrah and he's going to Dubai, but he owes people money. Come on, man. Your priorities are wrong. You can't be standing in front of the Kaaba, but you have hurt a heart. The sanctity of the heart of a believer is more virtuous in the eyes of Allah than the Kaaba. You're earning millions of rands, you're spending millions of rands, and you're going to Dubai and Seychelles and wherever, but you can't pay your creditors. You're owing people money, they're running behind you, they're begging for that which is theirs, which is their right. Where is your priorities? My respected elders and friends, the Nabi of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has clearly declared the fire of hell is more worthy of the flesh that was nourished with haram. Now, due to the importance of this, my respected elders and friends, allow me to speak to you today about how, what we consume. About what we consume and how important it is and how the different strategies is being used in order to dupe us into eating that which is not halal. Now you and I know that we're living in a time, I'll speak on this again inshallah, we're living in a time where eating out has become common. Eating out has become common. We need to exercise caution and restraint and eat and not eat from any store or restaurant without being satisfied that the food is 100% halal. It is a standing miracle of Almighty Allah that He has made us from the lonely origins of dust, from a single set of parents into tribes and nations that spread all over the world. The world population today is about 8 billion, which 2 billion are Muslims. And if you reflect on this great marvel, then one cannot help but be in awe of Allah Ta'ala, who has gifted humans the intellectual capacity to speak different languages, a power that is only given to men. Animals don't have this privilege, and therefore the bark of a dog or a bird's song or a bull's bellow, a cricket's chirp or a frog's croak has remained the same on every continent over the ages. Why? Because Allah hasn't given them the privilege to speak. On the other hand, Allah has blessed man with the ability to speak. It is stated in the glorious Quran, وَمِنْ آيَاتِهِ أَنْ خَلْقُ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ وَاخْتِلَافُ أَلْسِنَتِكُمْ وَأَلْوَانِكُمْ, that Allah, who is the creator of the heavens and the earth, and in the variations in your language and your colors are signs for those who know. There are approximately 6,500 languages in the world today, and amongst which English features very highly. It is the global lingua franca, an official language of 60 countries. And you and I know that all languages have their own structures, they have their own semantics, they have their own pragmatics, the rules of grammar, pronunciations, they have their own idiosyncrasies, etc. Now, from the English lexicon, we get the term euphemism. We get the term euphemism. Now, what is euphemism? Euphemism is the deliberate substitution of a mild or indirect expression for one that is considered offensive, blunt, or hurtful, especially one concerning religion or death. The military, together with politicians, are particularly adroit at employing euphemisms. Take the expression, friendly fire. Friendly fire, which is anything but friendly. Friendly fire is anything but friendly, as it entails killing one's own troops. Friendly fire entails killing one's own troops. Now, how demoralizing it would be for the families, friends, and the unit of servicemen if what was expressed truthfully in stark reality with the headlines screaming of death by the very army of the soldiers that are entrusted for safety. Take another example. We get collateral damage. We get what is called collateral damage to minimize the impact of innocent civilians killed by the military. So they say, instead of saying that the servicemen were killed by the military, they call it collateral damage. Now, my respected elders and friends, coming back to our topic, after understanding the word euphemism and how it is used, there is another one that is used. And this brings me to my topic. And you know what is that which is used? Halal friendly. What they say? Halal friendly. There is absolutely no thing as halal friendly. There is no such a thing as halal friendly. An outlet is either halal through compliance with Shari requirements, or it is not halal. Finish. There is nothing like halal friendly. Number two, halal friendly in fact suggests that the establishment has been unable to meet the requirements of halal. Halal friendly means that the establishment has been unable to meet the requirements of halal. It would invariably buy a facility that uses halal and non-halal ingredients and products at the same premises. Haram cannot be precluded from this, as there is a possibility of haram products. Thirdly, the euphemism has been coined by establishments that are generally, not exclusively halal, yet they are desiring the Muslim consumer. Because they know the Muslim, he loves his child. A man has to eat. And he loves his food. So what they did, in order to attract the Muslim consumer, they coined the word halal friendly. They are aware that consuming halal is a very important and integral part of mine and your iman. They know that. Fourthly, the motive is purely commercial gain and not altruism, as Muslims make up 1/5 of mankind. And the absence of similar terminology. You don't find Christian friendly. Do you find Christian friendly? You don't find kosher friendly or shuda friendly, etc. It is an indicative of the statement that they are trying to tell you that it is halal friendly. And then very importantly, my friends, it serves as a subtle upfront precautionary disclaimer that in the event of items not meeting the halal standard, that is, we said halal friendly, we never said halal. So tomorrow if you have to query, they'll tell you, but you know what, we said it's halal friendly, we didn't say it's halal. Over the years, we have seen this excuse surface when these halal-friendly outlets were found to be frying eggs on the same griddle as bacon, or toasted cheese and tomato sandwich being sliced with the same knife that had just cut through a ham sandwich, or personnel in the preparation handling haram and halal on the same chopping board. Contamination with the use of the same utensils and equipment for both halal and haram. Don't be fooled by the euphemism halal friendly. The effect on your spiritual being and salvation could be as deadly and devastating as friendly fire and collateral damage. Just as there is nothing as friendly fire, it is as devastating. The same way, halal friendly could be as devastating to your iman. Halal friendly is anything but friendly. Halal friendly is anything but friendly. Don't put your iman in the firing line. Respected elders and friends, may Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala save us from the minutest bit of haram, as well as that which is doubtful. As many of our children are now finish with their exams, and the schools and the madrasas will be closing, and some have closed already. Many will capitalize on this holiday period. Many restaurants, many eateries make halal claims and advertising strategies aimed at luring Muslim holiday makers, some of which are untrue and misleading to consumers. Muslims are exhorted to be on the guard against the following terms and practices. Be careful, my respected elders and friends, because there is a hadith of our beloved Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that makes mention that a person's dua and a person's ibadah is not accepted with the consumption of haram. That is why I say, and that is why I plead, that make sure that in order for your du'as to be accepted, in order for your ibadah to be accepted, you need to ensure that whatever you consume and whatever your body intakes is only from halal, pure and wholesome sources. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give me and all of us the understanding. Two important announcements, respected elders and friends. It is with a very happy heart we announce that alhamdulillah, a locality not very far from us, Blegauri, have made an offer to purchase a piece of land with the intention, inshallah, in the near future to build a masjid, alhamdulillah. So nice to see in our area, mashallah, the houses of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala being erected. So the offer to purchase has been already made and it has been accepted. So today's, inshallah, collection will be for that purpose. And who knows, 10, 15, 20 years down the line, I might not be here, you might not be here, but Allah's house might be there. Subhanallah. Allah's house will be there, and in your qabr, man bana baytan lillah banallahu lahu baytan fil jannah. And when you are in your qabr, and all these rewards are accruing to you, and you will say, oh Allah, where did all this come from? Allah will say, you know, you gave that 100 rand to Blegauri. Today that masjid has been completed. What a beautiful and happy feeling it will be that your little contribution was a means of the house of Allah coming up, subhanallah. Was a means of salah being read, Quran being read, dhikr of Allah, remembrance of Allah. So inshallah we make a humble appeal, and the brothers of Blegauri have humbly requested our masjid and our community to donate generously, inshallah, so that the land can be purchased and inshallah everything can be put into place for the erecting of the masjid, inshallah. Secondly, we know, as I have mentioned, that we are coming to the holiday period, and it is at this time of the year that our youth are most vulnerable to immodesty and to sin in the form of entertainment and otherwise. So inshallah, on Saturday between Asr and Isha, there will be a special program for our youth from grade 10, 11 and 12 at the Markaz, inshallah. Let us try to motivate them, send them, inshallah, so that they can spend time in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and be saved and protected from the evil and the harms that are out there. May Allah give us the understanding. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillah. الحمد لله الذي خلق الإنسان من طين قال ثم ركب صورته في أحسن تقويم وأتم اعتدال ثم غداه في أول نشوئه بلبن استسفاه من بين فرث ودم نائب صائغا كالماء الزلال ثم حماه بما آتاه من الطيبات الرزق أن دواعي الضعف والانحلال ثم افترض عليه طلب القوة الحلال ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن سيدنا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله الهادي من الضلال صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه خير أصحاب وخير آل وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا فقد قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم إن الله حرم بيع الخمر والميتة والخنزير والأصنام وقال عليه الصلاة والسلام التجار الفجار يحشرون يوم القيامة فجارا إلا من اتقى وبر وصدق. ولعن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم آكل الربا وموكله وكاتبه وشاهديه. وقال عليه الصلاة والسلام: من باع عيبا لم ينبئ عليه لم يزل في مقت الله ولم تزل الملائكة تلعنه. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. يا أيها الذين آمنوا لا تأكلوا أموالكم بينكم بالباطل إلا أن تكون تجارة عن تراض منكم ولا تقتلوا أنفسكم إن الله كان بكم رحيما. صدق الله العظيم وصدق على رسوله النبي الكريم ونحن على ذلك لمن الشاهدين والشاكرين والحمد لله رب العالمين. الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا. من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له. ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن سيدنا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي. يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما. اللهم صل على محمد عبدك ورسولك وصل على المؤمنين والمؤمنات والمسلمين والمسلمات. قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم: أرحم أمتي بأمتي أبو بكر رضي الله عنه، وأشدهم في أمر الله عمر رضي الله عنه، وأصدقهم حياء عثمان رضي الله عنه، وأقطاهم علي رضي الله عنه، وعن الصحابة كلهم أجمعين رضوان الله تعالى عليهم أجمعين. الله الله في أصحاب لا تتخذوهم غرضا من بعدي، فمن أحبهم فبحبي أحبهم، ومن أبغضهم فببغضي أبغضهم. وخير أمتي قرني ثم الذين يلونهم ثم الذين يلونهم. اللهم أعز الإسلام والمسلمين، اللهم انصر الإسلام والمسلمين، اللهم انصر من نصر الدين واخذل من خذل الدين. اللهم ألف بين قلوب المسلمين وأصلح ذات بينهم، وانصرهم على عدوك وعدوهم. اللهم ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار. اللهم اسقنا غيثا مغيثا مريعا مريعا نافعا غير ضار عاجلا غير آجل. اللهم اسقنا الغيث ولا تجعلنا للقانطين ولا تجعلنا من القانطين. اللهم رب ارحمهما كما ربياني صغيرا. اللهم أعنا على ذكرك وشكرك وحسن عبادتك. اللهم اغفر للمؤمنين والمؤمنات والمسلمين والمسلمات الأحياء منهم والأموات برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين. والحمد لله رب العالمين. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. إن الله يأمر بالعدل والإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون. اذكروا الله يذكركم وادعوه يستجب لكم ولذكر الله أكبر والله يعلم ما تصنعون. Let us ensure our self-sustained, respected friends. Try to fill in the gaps, stand as close as possible, shoulder to shoulder with our heels in line. الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين سبح اسم ربك الأعلى الذي خلق فسوى والذي قدر فهدى والذي أخرج المرعى فجعله غثاء أحوى سنقرئك فلا تنسى إلا ما شاء الله إنه يعلم الجهر وما يخفى ونيسرك لليسرى فذكر إن نفعت الذكرى سيذكر من يخشى ويتجنبها الأشقى الذي يصلى النار الكبرى ثم لا يموت فيها ولا يحيا الله سمع الله لمن حمده الله الله أكبر الله أكبر الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين قد أفلح من تزكى وذكر اسم ربه فصلى بل تؤثرون الحياة الدنيا والآخرة خير وأبقى إن هذا لفي الصحف الأولى صحف إبراهيم وموسى الله سمع الله لمن حمده الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر السلام عليكم ورحمة الله السلام عليكم ورحمة الله
اللهم انت السلام ومنك السلام تبارك يا ذا الجلال والاكرام اللهم صل على محمد النبي الامي وعلى اله وسلم تسليما ربنا اتنا في الدنيا حسنه وفي الاخره حسنه وقنا عذاب النار اللهم انا نسالك الهدى والتقى والعافيه والغنى اللهم انا نسالك العفو والعافيه اللهم اشف مرضانا ومرضى المسلمين اللهم ارحم موتانا وموتى المسلمين اللهم انصر الاسلام والمسلمين اللهم الف بين قلوب المسلمين واصلح ذات بينهم انصرهم على عدوك وعدوهم اللهم إنا نسألك رضاك والجنة ونعوذ بك من سخطك وغضبك والنار اللهم رب ارحمهما كما ربياني صغيرا اللهم أعنا على ذكرك وشكرك وحسن عبادتك اللهم رب اجعلنا مقيم الصلاة ومن ذريتي ربنا وتقبل دعاء ربنا اغفر لنا ولوالدينا ولأساتذتنا ولجميع المؤمنين والمؤمنات والمسلمين والمسلمات وصلى الله تعالى على خير خلقه سيدنا ومولانا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين. Inshallah, there will be card facilities as well available for the collection, debit and credit card facilities available for the collection. Request brothers, inshallah, to utilize that as well, inshallah. JazakAllah.